Farmer Viliamu was born and raised in the capital of Niue, Alofi. He is our very own expert in our Pacific Media Network, who is the producer for the PMN Niue program on Tuesdays. So we're going to chat with him about how he came into the space and what the community is up to this week to celebrate Niue language. Whakalofalahi atu, Whama, and whakawelahi for taking time out to have a chat with us this morning.
Whakalofalahi atu, Ete, and whakalofalahi atu, Kia Ina, and thank you for that wonderful introduction this morning and that beautiful song to kick off our discussion and talanoa this morning.
Now, let's go back to the beginning. What was it like growing up in Niue?
Well, Ete, I spent some time firstly here in New Zealand, and then I went back to Niue and spent the rest of my youth there learning the language, because I had to start learning the language from the start all over again and going back to Niue. So that was the best place for me to do it. And eventually I got into doing a little bit of radio, went to high school, and I moved here to New Zealand in 95.
So growing up here in New Zealand, your Niue, your Wangahau was not that good?
It wasn't really that good because, you know, here in New Zealand, most of what you did was done in English. From the school, from various other activities, it's always English. And the only time I got to speak Niue was at home. But even that sometimes was on a limited basis. So I can understand, you know, what some of our young people are going through today in this day and age in terms of trying to learn or to maintain their Wangahau Niue.
So how old were you when you went back to the Rock, and how easy was it to pick up the language?
I was 14 at the time when I went back to the Rock, and it took me a little while to learn the Wangahau, and obviously, you know, I was made fun of sometimes by my friends and relatives because of my Wangahau Niue, but you know, I rose above all that and kept learning the Wangahau. And in the end, I did pretty good, actually.
You have done more than pretty good. You went on to become the tourism officer in Niue. What was that role like?
That role was a brand new role. There was no tourism on the island at that time. And when the job came up, my dad was a policeman, and he was a bit disappointed in me because he was expecting me to follow in his footsteps, but I didn't think that being a policeman, although it's a noble profession, he didn't think that, you know, it was something that I wanted to do. So when the tourism job came up, I embraced it with both hands, and 14 years later, we had a tourism industry, great infrastructure, and all that we needed to have a tourism industry was put in place at the time. But I had a lot of help to do that. And the late Premier of Niue, Setoke Tufikia Taalangi, he was the head of the economic department at the time where I came under. And also a lot of support from him, the local business people, our community, also chipped in, as well as our airline operators. So it was quite an interesting but well worth journey, Ete.
You weren't tempted to follow the tradition of public service to run for government?
No, I worked with the Premier, Sir Robert Rex, and then Young Vivian, and then Frank Louis, who were premiers at the time. But I didn't, working at the public service was more my cup of tea, I think, rather than going into politics. But when I left Niue in 95, I was probably one of the youngest senior public servants at the time. But it was good. Was a good journey.
Wow, you could have gone further in the public servant as the youngest one. What was it that brought you to New Zealand in 95?
I felt I needed a change at the time. So, plus my parents were here. My dad was not feeling very well. So I wanted to come over and spend some time with him and the family here. It was supposed to be just a year of taking leave, but I ended up staying here permanently, and I got a job with a couple of tourism companies here in Auckland, Aspect Vacations, and then from there I built my experience in the tourism industry at T. And it was quite an interesting journey. I then, after that, I moved on to the Manukau City Council. So it's been quite a, and then later on I joined, PMN, and here I am today as the producer for the New Air Language Program.
Wow. Who was it that approached you to come to PMN, and what was the first job you did when you joined the team?
The job was advertised, and I felt that much of what I've done prior to that was working for the community. So I guess that sort of fell in line with what I was doing at the time, hence the reason why I applied for the job, and I got the job. And then I started off with, like everyone else, trying to learn the ropes with announcing and... you know, I think you can relate to that too, learning how to use the panel and speak on the microphone and doing some recording news. So there's quite a, it took me a long time before I could even begin to master some of the skills that I have today.
Yes, I'm very grateful for our producer Ina's experience and support here. It is a difficult ship to navigate at the best of times. Mm. Well, just when you think you have it all under control, something goes wrong. A button doesn't happen, and then suddenly, Ina, please. What are the joys of the job for you?
I think the joys pretty much for me is I've got a fantastic team that I work with, first and foremost. So, and of course, we have a good management structure here at PMN. And it really is to serve our community. And that is one of the main reasons why I wanted to do this job. But if you look at where we are now, we're celebrating the Māhau Niue Language Week this week. And what better way to help promote the Māhau than on radio and through radio as the medium. So I take a lot of pride and joy in what I do for the radio and for serving our communities as well. And Ina was also part of that journey for us.
And do you get many in our community sidling up to you or at community functions and telling you how you should be doing your program?
all the time, Andy. all the time. But they also appreciate what we do at PMNUE in terms of maintaining and keeping our communities connected with each other as well. So we also... have a connection with New Air. As you know, that New Air today is celebrating their 46th Constitution celebration. So for us here, it's been a double header in terms of celebrating the New Air Language Week as well as the Puli Whakamutu, or the Constitution celebrations for us here in Aotearoa and also in New Air.
Being the first tourism officer anywhere, it must bring you joy to see how much tourism has grown anywhere up until COVID-19 shut the borders.
Absolutely, absolutely. And it's great because, you know, most of our Pacifica countries don't have much in the way of economic industries. Other than for New Air's sake, tourism, for an example. and that's brought in a lot of people, a lot of dollars, and has helped with the money generated from the tourism industry. Certainly helped the economy of the island, and it's benefited our local people to quite a high extent with their involvement in the tourism industry, whether it's the people that plant the taros and the agriculture, to the fishermen, to the handicraft weavers, restaurant operators on the island as well, tour operations. So the tourism industry touches all sectors of our community, Etty, and that's why it's such a good industry.
You spent a large part of your youth in Niue. At this point in your life, is New Zealand home, or is the calling of the rock echoing and resonating in the back of your mind?
Well, it's always been there, Etty, to go back to Niue, and I think I'm not alone in that sentiment. There's a lot of other Niueans here in New Zealand, Niuean born, New Zealand born, who are very keen to go back and to you know, set up businesses, help the economy, maybe take their children back to learn the Wanghao Niue. Lots of things that can be done. Niue is a beautiful, beautiful place, and it's a fantastic place for people to visit, explore, enjoy themselves, and you know, that's what it's all about when you go to Niue. You know, we still don't lock our doors or leave our keys in the car when we are at home. So not many places like that around nowadays, Etty.
Now, I'm sorry, I haven't done my homework, and I'm not sure whether you do have children and grandchildren, but I'm going to take a stab in the dark. And grandchildren, but how do you keep Wangahau Niue alive in your own family?
Well, we try to speak as much as possible in our homes, and I think that's where it all starts for our children. But it's not always the case for everyone. And, you know, we have at the moment ways that our children can learn through the, you know, the early childhood centres, the primary schools. They all chip in to help to ensure that we are, you know, teaching Wanghao to our children where we can. But as you know, in this day and age in New Zealand, where our children, once they leave home, they are exposed to an environment where the English is spoken widely. And even on social media also has an impact on our children today. So we can only do our best, Etty, to make sure that we try to teach our children our Wanghao as best as possible.
Dad, okay with the fact that you are not a policeman and serving the Niuean community in that sense, but he must be happy that you are doing this work, this amazing work that you do.
I'm happy, Etty, and I also want to just to say that you know, there are a lot of our young people out there who are trying their best to learn the Wanghao. And PMN Niue has tried to help that process. But also within PMN, as you know, we have a wonderful range of languages that we use in PMN. We conduct our programs predominantly in our own Wangahaus. We also get help from the Ministry for Pacific Peoples, which we are grateful for, as well as the Pacifica Education Center. But also our local community teachers and community groups that are teaching Wanghao Niue amongst themselves as well. So I'm going to be really grateful to them all.
Yeah, part of the difficulty and the tricky one, which I think you try and address in the bilingual show, is trying to tread carefully with our younger ones who, you know, need to be introduced into it slowly and not speak Wangahao so much that they can't even, you know, sit in the conversation. But to have a program where you can speak English and Wangahao is a nice way to do that, don't you think?
That is absolutely right, Etty. We we are very grateful that we have a bilingual segment in our language programs, because it's the only way that we can communicate using both languages with predominantly our young people. Now, we've got a lot of flack from our matures who have said, why are you using English in a new way language program? But, you know, in this day and age, we have to. We have to make allowances for our young people and even adults who don't speak our new way language fluently as others. And we can't just say, oh, sorry, you can't come into PMNUA unless you speak full Niue. We just can't do that nowadays. It's not practical. And that's why we're doing what we're doing now on PMNUA, PMN Samoa, Tonga, and the Cook Islands.
And speaking of PMN Niue, it's going to be this afternoon. What do our Niuean community and those who are wanting to learn Wangahau, what do they have to look forward to from 3 o'clock this afternoon?
We've got quite a lineup this afternoon. We're going to be talking with a young gentleman, Lexiam Colossea, who is leading the way in terms of the young children trying to make sure that they have a good grasp of their Wangahau Niue. We've got other people that are coming on the program. Nicky Jackson, he's one of our young people also that has led the way in terms of the Wangahau for our youth. But, you know, last week, the Hakupu, the village of Finione Hakupu Atua, they launched an initiative, first time ever, for young people to collaborate with their tupunas to produce songs and chants and a bit of history about the village of Hakupu. So we're going to be talking about that today on our show. We've got Miss United Continent in New Zealand 2020, Flora Pingia, who's Niuean, coming on the show as well. Lekeilo Pa, very strong Wangahau Niue practices, she's coming on. So we've got a lot of, we've got a community leader from Whangarei coming on the program as well, Johnny Kumito, and that's going to continue on throughout the afternoon till 6. Ete, and then 6 to 10, 10 to 2, and 2 to 6. So we've got a great lineup, because we're also going to be talking to our people in Australia as well later on in the evening, just to find out what they've been up to in terms of the celebration of their Wangahau Niue, or the Niue Language Week. So we've got a good lineup for everyone to listen into this afternoon, right through till tomorrow morning.
PMN Niue producer Fama Viliamu, whakawelahim hahaki for your time and, of course, for the amazing work that you do for our Niuean community.
E te whakawelahi, mwine ake mua, mo ina, whakawelahi kua whereia.